Hello, and welcome to Forward Church Online. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you'll have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Hey, before you're seated, I said, oh man, we finished to play that Pastor Says. Man, just high five about six or seven people around you. Tell them, say, good things are coming your way this year. Come on, just tell them right where you stand. Good things are coming for you this year. We welcome you in the house today. Those listening by podcast, we declare over your life as well that good things are coming your way. If nobody came and spoke to you, throw your hand up. We're going to get somebody to come to you. Did anybody not get spoken to? If you did not have somebody come talk to you, throw your hand up. We want somebody to Don't make me jump off this platform. I had to be right down in there. I'm just kidding. Man, is that not exciting that we don't have to? Now, there are many that do, but we don't have to take the stuff, the junk, the C-R-A-A-P. We don't have to bring that stuff from 2014 in. Isn't that good news? Now, there are people that do that, and you can spot them. You can see them a mile away. They're like, yep, I'm bringing all my luggage with me, all my stuff. And you're just like, brother, just other side of the street. How many know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all, I think you were just talking about me and my family. We got all kinds. No. Today, you will be set free. Amen. He never expects us to do that. Well, welcome to the very first Sunday. I've already said that once today, but welcome to the very first Sunday of 2015. It is crucial what happens today. How many know that old scenario about whatever you're doing when the clock strikes 12, you'll do that all year long? Yeah. What planet are y'all from? I know this is church, but hello. Just making sure y'all out there, but you know that old saying, whatever you're doing at 12, so you want to find the mistletoe and you know, exchange lip service and stop right there and all that kind of stuff. And so that you can do that all year, right? Amen? And the church body said yes. Okay, so, but I look at it the same way that whatever we do on the very first Sunday is going to set the stage not only for what happens tomorrow and the next 6 days after that, but what's going to happen 365 days. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Yes, I do. Today is a huge day for our family specific because 365 days backwards from today, we loaded up a U-Haul, two vehicles, and a truck and moved all of our stuff from Georgia today, this day, 365 long time ago. It's crazy that it's gotten here so fast. But today is a huge day for our family. That's the day that we said, okay, God, we see what we could have made happen, but we're going to let that go, and we're going to follow you. And see, that wasn't to get an applause for what we did. That's an encouragement to say there are times in our lives, matter of fact, not times, it's every day, 24/7, that we should be saying, God, I'm going to turn away from the things that I can produce, and I want to be a part of what you're producing. Boy, that would have preached right there. That's a whole nother sermon. You sure you want me to preach this one? Turn away from what I could have produced and get connected with what you're already producing. So many times we want to go, God, I just want you to bless what I'm doing. Nah, well, there's a time for that, but we got to get connected with what God's already doing. Amen? So we're excited. We're excited for today. We're so much excited that as a ministry, as a church, many of us, many of you have decided today you're going to launch for the next 21 days prayer and fasting. If you have already kind of said, well, I didn't know anything about that, and I just had a major beef's breakfast this morning or Bill's breakfast, and hey, man, you can jump on the bandwagon at lunchtime. But some of us are there. If I fall out in a minute, it's because there is nothing in here yet. No rabbit food. So, but we're excited. And why are we doing that? Because we want to position ourselves to a place to hear from God, because we believe that he's looking for people who will position themselves to be used to impact the lives of other people. And we're just believing God for you. As a staff, as a pastoral staff and leadership team, we're believing for what God wants to do in your life, in your home, and this ministry. And the way to do that is to go, I'm gonna give up these things. And don't get caught up on the replacement. What can I replace this substance food with so that so it's not as hard on me? If you did that, you missed the point, and you just need to go ahead and go to Gainesville and get you a hot steak. We did last night. It was called the Last Supper. But if you get caught up on what can I replace a meal with, see, God, the thing with fasting and praying is this. God wants to see, what are you willing to give up? I've got something so important, but how you respond, which is the message, how you respond to that tells me how important that is to you. And if you're willing to give this completely up, that doesn't mean you need to go and not eat anything. To hear what I'm saying with moderation. But don't get caught up on, because that's what the enemy wants you to do. You'll get so caught up and you'll get caught up in those things instead of spending time in prayer going, God, I'm believing for this. And God, I'm seeking your face for direction for this. Amen? That was the only commercial for the fasting. But that's what we're doing as a church. We're excited. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today we're concluding part two of the two-part series that I started last week with the simple message entitled, what is the title? The Power of a First Response. The Power of a First Response. And we talked about last week how it's important for us, and if you missed last week, I encourage you to go to the podcast and check out that, and that way what you hear today will just go right together. But what we learned last week, just to highlight, was to act justly. To people around us. We're to act justly or be fair with those around us. We're to love mercy, be compassionate to those around us. How many of you faced something after hearing last week's message where you were faced with, oh my gosh, my first response was, anybody? Anybody want to admit? Some of you already told me, man, I never really realized how important my first response was. How many of you ever made a decision? You went, man, I wish I could go back and rewind and change that so I could have had a different outcome. How many knows now you can change it? Amen? Today is the day of change. Today is the day. You don't even have to rewind the tape. God just said, we're going to put a new cassette. Now the young people are going, what in the world is a cassette? We're going to put a new cassette in the thing and hit play and just move forward. There's no pause button on this thing. There ain't no fast forward. We like to find the fast forward and go, God, I know this is where you want me to go, but can we just go over? It don't work that way. Amen? But the good news is, wherever, and you can say, well, I've already made some bad decisions and I'm 4 days into this year. You can change now. You can change now. So, and we also learned that we're to walk humbly. And I read that message translation that said, in walking humbly, it's to not take yourself seriously, but take God very seriously. So if you want to learn how to walk humbly, don't do no hashtag humble on your Twitter, because that's that. No. But if you want to learn how to walk humbly, y'all like that? To walk humbly, you got to not take yourself so seriously and take God very seriously. Amen? But what we know to be true is this, that God has major, huge plans for Chiefland, Florida. How many believe that this morning in the house? And I know what you're thinking, because I was thinking the same thing for like 5 years in a row when Dad was saying, man, the team is down here in Florida. We're praying that you guys are going to move. And then I got my wife, you know, rolling over in the bed at night going, don't you really think you want to think about it? Don't you really want to move? And I'm like, no, I don't want to move, because it's Chiefland. Yeah, but God's going to do big things. In Chiefland? Come on now. Chiefland looks the same. We got to, you know. Yeah. Chiefland. Nothing big has ever happened in Chiefland. That's what some of y'all are thinking. I hear what you're saying, and I know why you're excited and all that stuff, but nothing big has ever happened in Chiefland. Might I remind you, just a few months back in Easter, the largest, to my knowledge, the largest in the history of Chiefland, largest Easter egg hunt as a corporate city was ever produced, and people came to in Chiefland, Florida. Somebody said, well, I didn't know what you were talking about. That's because you're living on a different planet. No, I'm just kidding. There was over 2,000. We lost count at like 1,500. Sister Eloise was like, Bradley, we stopped counting at like 15-something. I said, that's all right. We know. I mean, it was like over 2,000 people. The largest in the history of Chiefland. Big things can happen in Chiefland. God is simply looking for a group of individuals, someone, anyone, who will position themselves to a place to say, I want my life to impact because of you in my life and things you've done for me. I want to position myself so that I can be used to impact the lives of other people. I want what you've worked out in my marriage to be able to help other people in their marriage when they're down and they think that everything's gone wrong for them. There's no way to rekindle and refire and restore and reconcile when there is a way. Check this out. In order for us, James put this in my ear and the other Sunday, he said, in order for us as a ministry to do things that have never been done, we must be ready and willing to do things that have never been done. We got to be, in order for those things that have never happened, we don't want just another church with a steeple and stained glass and a pew and all that stuff. If that's you, there's plenty of them. But what we want to do is to be able to impact their impact. Other churches are impacted. I got to back up because I don't want anybody to think that I'm Mike Tyson. No. But God's called us to reach those that are not in church, the ones that are not showing up at other locations. Amen? But in order for us to do something that's never been done, in order for us to reach people that have never been reached, we must reach people in a way that's never been looked at, never been tried. How many are fishermen in the house? How many knows that there's certain bait? They're like, how do you know? You don't look like a fisherman. No, you're right. Congratulations. But I've been told that for certain, like catfish and different things, there's a certain bait for those type fish. You don't go shark fishing. We had friends back in Georgia that loved to come down here and go shark fishing. You don't use that little skinny worm that looks like the thing that we used to eat as gummy worms when we were kids. You don't use that to get a big shark. No, you get a big hunk of meat. So what we have to do as the church is we got to find a big hunk of meat. We got to find something that looks delicious. We got to find something that looks appealing, because how many knows the world is in competition? The enemy is in competition for what God wants to do. And the enemy never created, he's not an originator of anything. He's just a counterfeit. Am I going too slow or too fast? Am I good? Okay. So we've got to be able to produce something that is that large and that attractive like Christ did. Amen? Because he says, if you lift me up, I will draw all men. So the big chunk of meat is Jesus. Yeah, well, I don't even know where I'm going, but Jesus is, the picture that we have with Jesus is, nice tan and perfectly cut hair and sandals and all that. No, but it's what we show them how Jesus was. If you want to know how to respond like Jesus, you've got to look at Jesus. It's not about show him the picture and show the world the cross. We need to love like Jesus loved, which is a picture of the cross. Amen? Hallelujah. Whew. But for greater results, there requires greater commitment. I didn't have time to put a lot of these on there on the screen, so you're going to have to just tweet some of these or put them in your phone in your notes, because you're going to want to get some of this stuff. But greater results, in order for us to do greater things for God, it's going to require... Somebody said, you lost me right there. I was good. I want all that, but I don't want anything to be required of me. Greater results require greater commitment. Say this with me. Say, it's going to require something from me. Say it again. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, say, it's going to require something from you. It really is. Somebody said, why are you saying that? Because when we leave here and you don't have Simon up here going, Simon says, tell your neighbor, you need to be able to look at somebody and go, I don't know what you're going through, but God has the answer to whatever it is. Well, how do I find it? Well, come hang out with me at church. See how easy that was? It's almost like you say things like, hey, will you go to church with me? Not, hey, come to church. It's almost like, hey, if you'll go, I'll go. It's the way we got to change bait. And some of the old bait, how many knows you don't fish with old bait because it stinks? I mean, the fish are looking like, you drop that, you better take that back up, honky, and drop something else down here. And that's what the world looks like at us. If I offended you by honky cracker, I don't know. It's just the words that flow out of my mouth, because he created me. If you got a problem with it, just say, God, what in the world were you thinking? Don't question him. But I think the world looks at us and goes, man, you've got to change bait. That's the stuff that I saw my grandma, and she ain't even here no more. She would go to church with the Quaker Oats box underneath the hairdo. And it's time to change bait. Amen? Well, what does it require? What is that going to look like? What does that look like for me? It's going to require for me to spend more time with my Heavenly Father than I've ever done before in my life. It's going to require me to get uncomfortable. Oh, there, you got me again. I just don't know about this. It's going to require me to become a bringer. Bring somebody to church. Don't just invite them and send out a mass text. No, it's going to require you to go, I know you're fighting stuff, and I know where the answer is. You got to go to church with me. It's the coolest happening thing. What you think is church ain't church. Jesus Christ is the coolest cat on the face of the earth. Well, but I thought Jesus rose again and he's in heaven. That's right. But I'm an example. I'm you, when you see me, this is why, when you see me, you've seen Jesus. That's how I was asked last night. What's your goal for 2015? And it wasn't that I wanted to be cliches, but I just said, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to love people like Jesus loved people. I want to serve people like he served people. I want to accept people like he accepted me. I'm not going to judge. Where in the world do we get judgment from anyway? You didn't see that from the Father, and if we're supposed to be like him. Just let that marinate just a little bit right there. It's going to require us it's going to require me to serve like I've never served before. It's going to require me to give like I've never been before. It's going to require me to give of my resources. It's going to require me to give of my time. Dave Ramsey said this, and if you don't know who Dave Ramsey is, we're preparing to put together a financial planning, because I think all of us could use some sharpening in our finances, and he's done it. And Amy and I have went through the class, and somebody said, well, it didn't work for you the first time. Well, you know, it's a process. And but he said, in order to live like no one else, you've got to live like no one else. In order for me to live like somebody, like nobody else is living, I got to, Raymond Noodle, I got to live like ain't nobody else living. I got to live that way now so that I can live later like you ain't never lived. And so somebody said, well, is that finances? No, no, no. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. In order to reach the lost like no one else, I've got to be willing to reach the lost like no one else. In order for me to reach out to those people that I brush shoulders with and I wax their cars generally, in order for me to reach them, I've got to be able to do it in a way that's never been done. I've got to be willing. It requires something of me. Say it requires something of me. So we're talking about the power of a first response. So when God's saying, man, there's something that I want you to be a part of. What is our first response? The power, it's important that if you did not get last week's message, that you go back and listen, because I feel like I may lose some, but it's the power of the first response. So what are you saying? Well, do I have an attitude of, I'm not gonna, I'm cool doing it the way I've always done? Is that my response to God? No, I'm cool. I just come in, participate, and high five when the preacher said high five somebody. Hey, what's happening? Or am I willing to really dig down and get involved in this thing? Do I have an attitude of, I'm not gonna, I don't want to. That's why people get upset and disconnect from local churches, is because they're challenged to move and they don't want to. That's another message you need to listen to that Dad preached a few weeks ago. I don't want to. How many of you kids say that? I don't want to. How many of you husbands, when the wife says, take out the trash, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to, but I will. I believe Jesus said that, did he not? Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, I don't want to, but as long as you got a but, and the way I'm looking at it, everybody's got one. Just ask them, they'll tell you. Sure, but. See, I don't know what y'all thought I was going, but everybody's got one. Everybody's got one. I mean, have you ever seen anybody? You ever seen those kids on the playground and they've been playing all day and the stay-at-home mom is reading the book and she finishes the book and Timmy, it's time to go. And he's like, I don't want to. And she comes over there and she puts her hand on the shoulder and Timmy ain't moving. Timmy not moving. He starts doing that Michael Jackson smooth criminal lean. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, I ain't going nowhere. You know, oh, y'all got perfect kids. Y'all's kids don't ever go, no, Dad, I don't want to. Well, y'all come hang out with me a little bit, and some of that rub off, I'm just playing. But that's how we are in the church, because when God says, hey, we got to move, we want to do this, there's people in the church that go, I don't want to, and you're not going to make me. And to prove it, I'm out. Peace. But I'm saying, God, I want to. Whatever it looks like. Remember what I said last week? We got the plan of how we think it's going to look. But God says, oh, you think you got it? Oh, you must not need me, dog. Oh, okay. Okay. So then he changes and flips the script and goes, and you stand there going, well, maybe I'm going to have to do this because it ain't working out. Like, can you come on back, God? How many Christians do that? God is saying, stop with all the excuses. Somebody say, where's the scripture at? We get in there. Stop with all the excuses. Let's get this done. That's what he's saying. Stop with all the buts and let's get this thing done. If you brought your Bible, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. If you're there, say you're there. I mean, I'm there. I'm there? You're there. We're there together. Here we go. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor," somebody say creditor. Yeah, we got them. I knew I'd get a little bit more speeches going on right there. "But now his creditor is coming to take my boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing there," excuse me, "your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except," everybody say except, and if you're not afraid to underline that, put that in your Bible, because that's the exception that we always, that's that but that we always, I want to but, I wish I could but I can't, because that's called an exception and an excuse, and we just heard God say, stop the excuses, let's get this thing done. Amen? So he says, "The servant, what do you have?" She says, "I have nothing except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few." How many knows that sometimes when God asks us to do something, we think he means in this. Anytime God asks you to do something, it's always in ginormous amounts. God never has done, even when he fed the 5,000, when he did, it wasn't, "Well, I can multiply a few of these loaves and fishes, and the rest of y'all are going to have to go out and fish for yourself, and I'll teach you how to fish for a day so you can fish for a lifetime." He didn't say all that. He just said, you bring me what you've got. And something else that I found out about God, he always uses the least in the room, the one that you would never expect it to happen. Somebody say, what are you talking about? When he fed the 5,000, it was very easy for the disciples, for Jesus to say, "We're going to feed them, but I'm going to need you to go find out who's the wealthiest in the room." You know, it would be easy to spot back in the day. Maybe not everybody had sandals, so you look for the one who has sandals. Maybe everybody didn't have a robe. They look for the robe. But that's not what they did. What they do? They went out and found a little boy. He brought his lunch. So see, God will always use the people that you least expect. I'm a least expected kind of person. If I was to open up and show you my history and my past, you'd be like, "Yep, least likely." God always uses the least likely in the room. How many want to be a least likely? I know that rubs against pride and least. We don't want to be least. No, we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. But sometimes in order to go higher, you got to get lower. And in order to do that, you got to act justly, love mercy, and show compassion towards people. Love mercy and walk humbly. Thank you. Walk humbly. By not taking yourself so serious and take God very serious. So he said, "Hey, go ask all your neighbors for some jars, but don't just get just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought her the jars. They brought mommy the jars, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another." But he replied, there is not another one left. So the oil stopped flowing. As a church, may we never put ourselves in a place where God says, "I want to do more, but there's no vessels." There's still more to be done. And as a pastoral staffer going, "But nobody wants to serve. Nobody wants to go reach the lost." He wants to do it, but may we never be like the kids and say, because can you imagine what, after just the first few jars she was pouring, she's like, oh my gosh. Okay, I got this. See, once you start obeying God, once we made the move, everything became easier. So why are you trying to relate it to that? Because it's the only thing that I know. But once you start obeying, the process becomes easier. But then you run into people who didn't go the extra mile, and then you have to turn and go, "There is no more. There's no more vessels." May we never be a church that says, "There's no more. Sorry." All this woman could focus on is what she didn't have. That's what she said. "What do you have?" "Well, this is what I don't have. This is all I got." It's an exception. But how many knows that old phrase, an exception to the rule? Jesus Christ is our exception to the rules. There are rules in here, but he's our exception to the rules. Amen? But Elisha, on the other hand, was interested in what she did have, not what she didn't. The prophet was interested in what she did have. He was interested in her exception. He was interested in her excuse of why it can't be done. Jesus is our exception to the rule. Many of you, us in the room, may feel like that woman today, where you may feel that you need to realize that the circumstances that you're going through, those things, that you're not alone. Well, I got all these circumstances and all these things going on. That's a perfect place for God to do the miraculous in your life. When you get to a place where you have nothing else. And somebody said, well, how's this your first response? It's when God asking of you to do something, what is your first response? Is it, God, I really wish I could, but, well, you got me into this predicament, but no, he didn't. No, he didn't get you into that predicament. Let's put it this way, predicament and God don't go together. Can we just make a pact this morning as a church family, that when we go through things, that we don't disconnect and like an astronaut, how you got to stay plugged up to something, that we don't disconnect and just start going out. Can we just make a pact that when we start going through stuff, that I'm just going to pull up and say, hey, dude, man, can we talk? Instead of going, I'm going to disconnect for a little bit from the church because I don't want people to know. Can we just make a pact? I'm not asking for a response. I'm asking for you to make an internal response to go, can we just make a pact that because family sticks together. Blood's thicker than water. And if you're born again, you got the same blood flowing through your veins that I do. It's called his blood that covers all of our mistakes and all of our junk. Somebody say, why? Because I love you and because I care. And when I see people get disconnected and they choose to disconnect and they're just out there floating and then they can't seem to get their way back. Y'all have seen those movies where they disconnect, they're out in outer space and they're just floating. Unless somebody with a pack is able to come by and swoop and get them. And you know what? There are packs in the house and we'll make that happen. But guess what? There are people out there that never even connected to a church who are just out there wandering around and they are having fun. You know how they do when you see them on the movies when they got their little thing and they turn, you know, there's no weight. They're just floating. You see those people. But we shouldn't be wasting our packs to go after you. I know that was hard. We shouldn't be using our packs and our safety nets to go after. We need to go after those out there. We need to find out what bait is going to take to reach those people. What's your first response? No, Pastor Bradley, I don't want no part of that. Okay, you miss out on the blessing. God has a history. God has a history of using what little someone has to do great and extraordinary things. So stop trying to get the extra together for him to bless it and make it extraordinary. You bring him what you have and let him pour out the blessing. It's all about him anyway. One of the greatest strategies of the enemy, of your soul and my soul, is to get us focused on what we don't have, what we used to have, or what someone else has that we once had, we wish we had, instead of asking God, what can you do with what I have? See, that's the problem. We be worrying about what other people have and then compare it to what we don't have when you need to look at what God has given you. He has given you a beautiful family. He has given you beautiful children. Yeah, but you don't know my children. But you train them up in the way they should go. Put a little correction on that backside. This is what we need to hear today. All God needs to work miracles in our lives is all that we have. The only thing he needs to make this happen, the only thing he needs to make what we feel he was wanting, the only thing he needs is all that we have. No, he's not looking at the amount, just all that you have. All to Jesus I surrender. Take my heart, oh God, make it ever. Yeah, all those things. You take me, you break me, you put me on the wheel, make me back to how I'm supposed to be. That's where we're supposed to be. Listen, 2015 will be a year of increase. That's what our fast is all about. It will be a year of increase for our finances, for our relationships, for everything will be a year of increase. If you believe it, say, I'm in there. That's me. Come on, talk back to me. Don't just say, yeah, that's me. I want that. You may not know how to get there, but you watch how somebody else is trying to. You just watch somebody else who's on fire that's trying to get there. And if you have to just hold on for dear life until you can get a little some of your own, hey, whatever it takes, but we all in this together. Just don't disconnect. It matters when you're not here because you have something to offer. I'm not talking about your pocketbook or your resources. I'm talking about you have a gifting. You have a talent. You have a personality. Some people just need to laugh sometimes. Some of y'all look like you woke up and had a persimmon sandwich this morning. Some of you need just to laugh. And guess what? You may not have a talent or a skill. You may not can sing. You may not can preach. But I guarantee you probably got a silly bone in your body that all you got to do is say something and everybody breaks out in hilarious laughter. They need that. Laughter is good medicine. Stop being so uptight in church. Church ain't like, that's why people don't want to come to church, because we presented it that it's got to be all uptight. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. The mandate from heaven for this body, Forward Church, a body of believers, is to serve our city. He's calling us to believe and trust him like we've never done before. That's what it's going to take. We got to trust him like we've never done. We got to do things like we've never done in order to have things that we've never had. He's calling us to believe the impossible. That's like last year, the Easter thing. We were going to start with 10,000 eggs, and it's like we raised it to 20,000. Do y'all know 20,000 eggs with 2,000 people wasn't even enough? So next year, we're going to raise the bar, and we're going to go for 40,000 eggs. Don't try to shortchange God. Luke 1:37 says that nothing is impossible. This is what I know. Nothing is impossible. We like to stop right there and go, that's right, nothing is impossible. The important part of that puzzle is this: with God, nothing is impossible. You got problems in your marriage? Nothing is impossible as long as you got God in the center. You got financial problems? Nothing's impossible. You got to start making better financial decisions. There is something that we're required of us. You know, we make stupid decisions. We get stupid, jacked up circumstances. And I'm talking to me. But we got to trust him with everything. And he's got to be right along with us. Not along for the ride. Come on, hang out with me. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. I don't remember the rest of the one. I don't remember the rest of it. Everything about God is big. He wants you to have a big wallet. See, I keep going back to that because I want your attention. He wants you to have that. And it's possible with God. You got to do everything that the word says, that you got to line up. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, there it is, with God, all things are possible. I could take a poll around the room and go, how many of you have ever been faced with impossible situations? But when you, at that moment, when you said, but God, in that moment, he came through. And most of the time, it's when the clock strikes 12. It's like that last 59 second when you needed it. Let me give you three obstacles that prevent us. Write these down. You're gonna need these, and then I got to move fast. Somebody say, oh my gosh, you're fast enough. Three obstacles that prevent us from receiving all that God has for us. The three obstacles that prevent us as the body of connecting with the vision and moving forward. The three obstacles. Are you ready? First one is this: resistance. What is that? We just flat say no. Just no. There's no time. No. No. Second one, doubt. We overanalyze and say, nah, there's no way. No way. That's what happened to us almost last year at the Easter egg thing. 10,000 people. 10,000 people. 10,000 eggs. And we're just like, okay, now we got 20,000. Man, I hope like 500 people show up, or we're going to be, the soccer field at Strickland going to look like a bunch of Skittles just threw up all over the place if we don't have some people. That's that doubt. It's doubt. The third one is fear. Well, what if I step out and something goes wrong? What if I do that? What if I do what my brother was just saying a while ago about tithing? What if I step out and something goes wrong? Let me tell you something. Anytime you step out and you're with God, nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing. The only thing I can tell you from our life is this, and you've heard me say it before, but I'm going to say it because it resonates with inside of me. We moved here, more bills, less income, all kinds of crazy stuff was happening. And can I tell you, we rode down the road just the other day after Christmas, and we didn't go extravagant. We just didn't do that. We just didn't do it. It was a budget. This is what I said we're going to spend. And when we got it, there was no, well, I know there's a little extra, let's just slide, and there's no credit card. Not a one, none of that stuff. But do you know for us in our house, and there was nothing extravagant by no means, it was the best Christmas we've ever had. And I used to plan. I used to have the big bonuses. I used to have all that stuff. But can I tell you that I look back, it was our best Christmas. Because we said, God, we're down here with you. Y'all think I moved for my family. I love them, but I didn't love them enough to come back down here. Because see, what you don't understand is God was opening something that I had worked very hard for. I was just in a matter of months away from taking over a ministry as the senior pastor for a ministry that I had poured myself into for 12 years. And God goes, that's what you think, but this is what I know. And it was when I said, okay, that everything came through. That doesn't mean there's not going to be hardships, but everything, because I was with God. I hope I'm being as transparent that you can see when you're talking about yourself. I can't tell your story. I can tell you mine and show you how transparent we're supposed to be so that when we go out there, we can be transparent before the world, because what they think is we put the stained glass windows that you really can't see what's going on the inside. That's what the world thinks. They just want to know, are you real? Are you real? So we battle resistance, doubt, and fear. God wants to use you, but the goal of the enemy is to abuse you. Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to be used by you. Some of them want to... I don't even know the words of that song. It's before my time. God wants to use you, but the enemy wants to abuse you. And he will also do it in a way where you think, okay, I'll start serving. But if you're not in a position, if you say yes before you're ready to say yes, you're going to get the mess beat out of you. Bam! If you're not ready, but that's what this is all about on Sundays, is to get us ready for the fight. God wants to use you. The enemy wants to just simply obliterate and abuse you. If you were offended by that little secular thing, I told you it's all about bait, because there might have been a person here today who's struggling with some stuff, and he was singing about Jesus, and now he's, this is a pretty cool cat. Yeah, absolutely, because I serve a cool Jesus, and he'll use whatever it takes to slap me in the face and get my attention. The enemy wants to see our sight and vision to become distorted, and for our focus to shift onto us and our situations and our circumstances. Why? Because he knows what God has in store is bigger. The enemy knows. The enemy knows. Time is just not on my side. Can I just have a few more minutes? Just a few more minutes. I want to show you what God, get that video ready. I want to show you what God has allowed us to do just in 12 months. Since January 1, what God has allowed us, what God has allowed us to do. It's incredible. In Chieflin, we completely renovated this building. Matter of fact, we only had two rooms January 1. But after that, that wall came down. There was like 50 people crammed in this one side. We're like, we got to have more room. Yeah, we're going to give, because we got to get the wall down so I can have some breathing room. Because some of y'all, your bathing ain't as frequent as mine. And then the kids, y'all like to have babies. We couldn't keep them, so we had to go next door, renovate that room, build. Y'all still were having babies, so then we had to put up walls in there. The one big room wasn't enough. And then we got a youth pastor, and then they got on fire and they took over the buzz room, and then we started feeding about 60 to 70 teenagers every week. Somebody say, well, we just feeding them. Yeah, we'll get them however we can. You throw a piece of pizza, a slice of pizza for them, a young person. They gonna come to church. Got to find out what the bait is. We went to the One Marriage Conference last year in Gainesville. Georgia. We put a new sign up on the building. Let's just show the video. There's just too much. give me just a few more minutes. Everything, one word describes that every picture. Excellence. When we did the Easter thing, it was not about come see what Forward Church is doing. Y'all can be a part of what we're doing. Us to be able to participate was the byproduct of what we were doing, but what we literally did was we were serving our community. We set up and said, you come. This isn't for us. This is for you. So in 2015, everything that we want to do to serve our community, that's what we want to do. Y'all know at Christmas time, on the float, we were able to, by miraculous finances. I was looking for another word to impress you, but that didn't happen. So provision. That's really not that fancy, is it? But provision, supernatural provision, allowed us to be able to give over 200, to walk the parade instead of throwing out candy, which we gave candy, but we also hand-delivered presents to little boys and little girls who were like, I just wanted some candy to go in my bag, and you're giving me a present. So, and that was 200, a little over 200. So we want to double that. So how are we going to do that? We're not going to wait till the last minute. The days of waiting to the last minute are over. So what are we going to do? Starting in February, the very first Sunday of every month, you can call it Toys for Tots, you can call it, we'll probably come up with a cool name between now and December, but until then, we're going to put a big crate out in the lobby on the first Sunday of every month. And I'm not talking about just get a little coloring book, I'm talking about if you can afford to get a bicycle. Now, I'm not saying we're going to have a bunch of bikes. I'm saying you get whatever you can get for that week, okay? But for the first Sunday of every month, we want you to bring a toy and put it in that box. I'm the one that came up and said, okay, the toys are great, but man, how cool would it be to see the float go down and have bikes just lined up and we just be able to pull them off and just set them in front of them and go, Merry Christmas, no strings attached. How cool would that be? So the first Sunday, we've already got storage units, or we'll put them somewhere so nobody knows, because we don't want nobody coming robbing what we want to do for the city. How many knows the devil is smart, sneaky, and he's a thief, and he ain't going to have no part of it. So the first Sunday of every month, beginning in February, we're going to have a crate out there, and all we're asking you to do, bring a toy. Bring something. Bring a crayons. Bring whatever. Easy bake ovens, whatever. Don't do that. Don't bring no easy bake ovens. Do they still make those? I don't even know. Whatever. How many think that's cool? That's cool. We want to be able to serve our community. And every year we do it, when they're coming to expect it to be one way, we want to be able to do it in a greater way because we serve a great big God. Amen? And some of y'all can just like go to Walmart, you know, like somebody did, and just say, hey, I'm going to write a check. I need like 15 bikes. Put them together too. We ain't got time for that. Put them together too. I'm just saying, you may could do that. It's about him, and it's about us being able to serve our community. That's just one of the things that we want to do. But what allows us to do it is the music softly plays, and I'm going to wind down. I'm going to take a lot of this out. Let me get the ushers. I'm going to go ahead and give you these things. We're going to take care of some house cleaning real quick, and this is what I want to do. Don't hand them out yet. What allows us to do it is your tithe. Now, let the air come back in the room, because I have freaked out all week long. But you can go ahead and give them this. No, not yet, because they'll be wanting to read it. Not yet. But go ahead and get them in your hands, and then you can. People get funny when you talk about the money. Y'all watch me. I know they're probably much better to look at than I, but listen. I don't like talking about money, but this is the way I figure. If it's something that you think about all the time, if it's something that you and your spouse have probably thought about this week, if it's something that we see in news media all the time, and it's also in the scripture, why not talk about it in church? As a matter of fact, it talks more about finances than it does heaven, hell, faith. There's more scriptures on money than heaven and hell. And that, how many knows that heaven and hell is important? But it's, let me tell you this, we don't want nothing from you. We're trying to get something to you. Because I don't want us to ever be at a place where God goes, I'm ready to do this, but we go, we have no vessels. We have no funding. The bills are paid. Ain't nobody hurting, okay? The bills are paid. Lights are on. That section. We could turn those on, but you can't see the screen. See, I know how the devil been. Yeah, but they only paid half the light bill because this section, and that's a room, and they didn't pay it. No. God don't want nothing. Our tithe is not in a way to say, I'm paying God to love me. That's already been done. You're serving, you're giving, you're helping people isn't to get God's love. He already loves you. But when we give to God, that's our way of saying, God, I love you, and this is how much. There's a scripture, and he read it. Most of you know it. In Malachi, it talks about, will man rob me in tithes and offering? We heard that this morning. Yada, yada, yada. I'm not trying to disgrace that, but I really wanted to go there, but my time was eaten up with this. But I want to show you this picture. I think it's in there. This is a piece of land in Israel. Hopefully you can see this. Because in that scripture, it says that because you rob me, you're cursed. Do you know what this land is in Israel? This is in Israel, and there's all kinds of development and everything around it. And I was doing research on the word cursed. That picture is the actual land in that Muslims won't build on it. Christians won't build on it. Jews won't build on it. You know why? Because that is the land that was purchased with the money that Judas used to betray Jesus, to give him up. Nobody will build on it. It's cursed. And if you dig a little deeper, where did the money come from that he used? Where did it come from? It came from the high priest. Where'd the high priest get it? From the temple. How'd it get in the temple? Tithe. So what we see is tithe money was used to give Jesus up. And because of that, that land is cursed. So what that is, somebody said, well, that's Old Testament, New Testament. Let me tell you something. Jesus never lowered the standard in the New Testament. He always raises the standard. He always raises. And that picture is proof that anything that we swindle or we rob from God, anything, that's proof. To this day, you can fly over there today. That's a most recent picture of in 2014. That's what it looks like today. Nobody would touch it. And so what are you saying? Everything we were able to do this past year, we were able to do because of generous giving. It's not about increasing a salary or making things extravagant. We just want to be able to reach people. I hope you hear my heart, because a lot of times when we get in church, people don't want. They get funny when you talk about money. They don't want no part. They just don't want no part of that. And I want you to hear my heart today. It's we just want to reach people. See, I just hope you do. In just a moment, you're going to be handed, you guys can go ahead, you're going to be handed a dime bag in church. Tweet that. See if that don't make them come. Preacher hands out dime bags at Forward Church. I'm giving you permission. You go ahead. Make sure everybody gets one. Every student. See, because why I'm talking about this, it's so important. This is what I believe. Listen, before you start reading, don't tune me out. Listen. This year, in 2015, I believe we're getting ready to, starting next month, we're going to start our capital campaign. Other people who have been in church know it as building fund, but it's a capital campaign. It's something you're going to see in your face every single week, because we're getting out of this building and we're going to go purchase the land that God has provided. God is providing for us, and we're going to pay cash for it. Ain't no loan for the land. We're going to pay cash for it. God's already given me the breakdown of how we're going to make that happen. It is going to be above and beyond our tithe. That's what the capital campaign is going to be. But I just felt the Holy Spirit say, or I told him, I said, you know, we can't be talking about capital campaigns if we haven't mastered tithing yet. Can I tell you, and I asked Sabrina for the numbers. Matter of fact, I asked her as soon as we came down here. Move down. I wanted to know what the numbers were that are allowing us to do all of this. Would you like to know that 20% tithers, we need to be at 80%. There are no pay increases in the coming months. Bradley Weber is not trying. I'm trying to get us to a place where we can move out of here and get to a place where we can reach people. We're trying to raise money. I'm trying to get money in your hands, because if you obey God's word, don't be like the land that's cursed that don't nobody want to have anything to do with because you're cursed. Don't be that way. So this is what he says. You didn't get a dollar in your bag. I couldn't afford that. I could afford the dimes. But this is what he says. For every one of these, give me one of these. You make 10 of these, give me 10 of these. You make 100 of these, give me 100 of these. That's all he says. When we mess it up is when we start saying, but I worked for this. No. He blessed you with that. He gave you the knowledge. He gave you the brain to go into computer programming. He gave you the knowledge to cut hair. He gave you the knowledge to work on school buses. He gave you the knowledge. Whatever you do, he gave you the knowledge. And I used to tell people all the time, young people would come into my office and they start doing things for God. And when things started rolling for them, they wanted to disconnect. And I said, don't forget. He can pull that out from underneath you and leave you hanging high and dry just to get your attention. It's not about the giving. It's about what he wants to give to you. And this is what I told my parents the other day, and then I'm done. Thank God. So I told my parents, I said, how in the world can we pray for our people to have the people that he's entrusted to us as leaders? How can we pray for you guys to be blessed in 2015 to be a year of increase for you if you're already cursed? I'm not trying to, I'm just saying, I can pray for you all day long, but there is a piece that you have to pick up, and once you do your part and we do our part, he does his part. And that's all I'm going to say, because it's not about the money. But this is what we're going to do, and then we're done. This is for everybody, because all the kids are in there. But the young people, this is for the young people. We teach this to our daughters. Y'all heard of P90X? This is T90X. This is the 90-day tithe challenge. And this is why it's a challenge, because the Word of God says, test me in this. Some of you say, you know what? I can't. You can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. Nobody's condemning you for what. It didn't say, if you have one of these, give me a penny. Don't tip God. Just give him the 10. And be gracious that he allows you to keep the other. Some of you may say, you know what? I've already tithed my percentage. And I'm going to continue to do that. I want you to fill this out. Grab a pen. Borrow a pen. We're going to put it in a bucket. This is a challenge. Because we did this in Georgia, and we saw our numbers at a church of 1,000 people. We were like 25-30% tithers. We saw it jump from 25-30 to 80-85%. And we saw a major increase, not in the checking account of the church, but we saw increases, and we're going to want to hear your stories of how God is providing for you. And you say, you know what? I am a tither, and I'm going to continue to tithe. And this is my pledge. And then if you say, you know what? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Let me tell you something. If you walk in here trying to make a decision if I'm going to give based on where you are, where your finances are, you'll face that decision. Listen, you'll face that decision every week. But if you just go ahead and make the one-time decision, I'm going to be a giver. There's a difference between giving and being a giver. And you say, I'm going to be a giver. And here I'm committing from this day forward. And this is what the church is going to do. Money back, guarantee. I know there's critics. Oh my God, in the church, money changers in the house of God. We believe in this so much. We know that if you commit and say, I'm going to give my 90, I'm going to give my 10. We believe so much that if you don't see a change in your finances in 90 days, it will be on record. You got to fill the card out. It'll be on record what you gave. And if you did not see a change in your finances, we'll give you every dime from January 4th to the 90 days out. We'll give you every dime back. And can I tell you, when we did it in Georgia, not a single person asked for the name. Well, of course they're not going to ask. No, trust me. We have people that would ask for their money back. It's not about the church checkbook. It's about God putting resources in your hand. Do you receive that? Y'all don't even know how I didn't want to talk about that part today. This is what it is, and I'm done. Promise. It's your first response. It's the power of a first response. See, I knew last week we were going to tie this together. It's the power of a first response. It's the first of the year. I'm going to give God my first offering, and I'm trusting him for the rest. And you're going to see this house reaching out to people. Why? Because we have resources. It's not about what we get to sit on and comfortable lights. It's When dad's gone, I'm gone, we're all gone, Forward Church will still be here. Somebody's going to be carrying the torch. Somebody's still going to be reaching people for Jesus because we paid the price today. So, to bring those buckets up, set them so we don't have a traffic jam. One right here and one on the other side like that. If you've had time to fill it out. Somebody said, well, can we not go home and pray about it? That's what I said to God. Well, can I not just give them the opportunity to pray about it? Why you got to pray about something that God said to do? You don't have to pray about that part. So I hope you've had time to fill it out and you can still continue. But you're dropping in the bucket going, I believe in what you're saying. I believe in what, and you're going to put it in the bucket. And then what I want you to do is I want you to form it, because dad's going to pray and we're done. I want you to form the largest circle. We're family. That's why we can have these conversations, because we're family. And I want you to form a large circle all around the room. And then dad's going to come and pray for us, and we're going to go home and enjoy salad. Amen. Amen. Fruit salad. Oh, yeah, the dime, you keep the dime. I know I made it sound like I could only afford the dime. You keep the dime, and you keep it in that bag. This is what I want you guys to do. Keep that in the bag. You put it by your nightstand as a forever reminder that I have made a pledge today. You keep the dime. Next year, maybe I'll be at a place where I can put a dollar in every... Because this is something we got to visit every year, because how many knows that we're going to... Try to make it a circle if we can. We're going to be reaching people that don't know anything about tithing, and they need God to bless them too. So next year, we're going to let you turn the dime in and give you a dollar. I'll get you a dime. It's important to have the dime, man. It's important to have the dime. And dad's going to come pray. Why did I do all that? Why did I dance around like a jumping monkey? Why? Because we love you. Listen, we love you, and we know that God has great things in store. Let's bring Miss Susie. Bring them all, Mr. Jeff. Yeah, help me. Just bring. Let's just make the circle in this room if we can do it that way. If not, we're gonna be stretching ourselves real thin. Mr. Jeff, we're glad you guys are here today too, man. It's awesome to have you. Y'all love me after all that? Do y'all love me after all that? I said, are we okay? Okay. Don't be emailing dad talking about, don't you let that little boy get back up there. Don't let him. That's my dad.
How many know the Spirit of the Lord is here? How many know that poverty is going to be broken off of this region?
Thanks for listening to this edition of Forward Church Online. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and that you'll share this and other great resources with your friends. We want to invite you to explore our webpage at www.myforwardchurch.org. There, you'll find online giving, church events, and so much more. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, as there's always something happening around Forward Church. If you're ever in our area, we'd like to extend an invitation to come be a part of one of our live worship experiences. Thanks again for listening to the Forward Church Online Podcast. Have a great week.